You should have under tab one a meeting summary from the Risk Policy Working Group of April 21, 2014, and Lori's slides were presented at the table this morning, so you should also have those. I will say that the Risk Policy Working Group has met now a couple of times, and a little bit of a slow start because we needed to really figure out what direction we were going in, and that was extremely important, and I think we've done that, so now we're getting ready to roll a little bit. But we're not asking the council today to take any action. This is a quick update, so we're going to try to go through it quickly. And I think if Lori's all set, I'm going to turn it right over to her.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to just give you a quick summary presentation of the latest meeting that the Risk Policy Working Group had in April. The full meeting summary is available in your binder behind tab one. And I'm just going to update you on where we are and what you can expect as we move into the future council meetings and try to develop the risk policy. You may recall that the council did agree to develop this risk policy as one of the management priorities for this year. The working group had met a couple of times last year and provided a report in November to the council where we recommended a stepwise approach to developing and implementing a risk policy. The council supported that and moved it forward as a management priority. So that's where we started, and that's what we've been working on. In general, this risk policy is going to serve as guidance to the Scientific and Statistical Committee and to the council for specifying ABC and setting ACLs in all council-managed species. In general, the idea is that we will develop sort of an umbrella policy that will serve as guidance that would apply across all FMPs. That's what the risk policy would be. And as noted in the language about specifying both providing guidance for specifying both ABCs and ACLs, the intent is for the risk policy to address risk as it relates to both scientific and management uncertainty. Scientific uncertainty when setting ABCs and management uncertainty when setting ACLs. So the working group got together in April, and as I mentioned, the summary is behind tab one. We, at this meeting, we revisited and generally finalized the risk policy goals and objectives. These were brought forward in draft form to the council in November, and we did make a few edits and changes to those goals and objectives. I'm going to go over those very briefly, and when we do move forward for the next council meeting, we'll be bringing those goals and objectives back to the council for approval in some way. At this meeting, we also discussed some of the technical concepts related to developing a risk policy, including management strategy evaluation, consideration of multiple models, and things like that. So we had sort of a very in-depth technical discussion about some of the issues. And then we sort of stepped back and talked about the approach a little bit more, and the group did agree on a three-pronged or a three-step approach to developing the risk policy. So I'm going to go through that very briefly. In terms of the goals and objectives, these are in the summary, and again, will be brought forward in a report to the council at the next meeting. The risk policy goals, as I mentioned, are to provide guidance to the SSC and the council for specifying risk-based ABC and ACL levels for all fisheries. Second, to provide structure for accounting for risk that can be understood, interpreted, and applied. Third, to improve consistency and clarity in the process for setting ABCs and ACLs across all fisheries. The objectives related to those goals are to clearly identify the council's risk tolerance and articulate the bounds for risk tolerance, to respond to different levels of uncertainty and stock condition, to improve scientific analysis and improve the transparency associated with the interpretation of risk, and to start simple and be adaptable. Evaluate performance and build in flexibility to revise and update the risk policy based on new information, new metrics, and or new risks. So, as I mentioned, we did agree to move forward with a three-pronged approach. There was a lot of discussion about the idea of an umbrella risk policy and how detailed would we want an umbrella policy to be. Would you apply the same tolerance for risk across all of the stocks and all of the FMPs, or would there be some FMP-specific considerations? And through that discussion, it became evident that it's going to be challenging to really come up with a very technical sort of risk policy that would, apply some sort of formulaic approach across all the FMPs. So what the group agreed to do is this three-pronged approach. First, step one would be to approve and adopt a broad risk policy statement. Once that statement has been approved and adopted by the council, then step two would be to develop a strategy for applying that across each council-managed FMP. And then step three would be to outline the process for addressing any individual FMP issues that sort of arise during the development of the strategy. So just very generally, this is conceptually what we're thinking here. Step one, as I mentioned, would be a risk policy statement, and this is what we're working on now. This would be a general, high-level, broad articulation of the council's general policy for addressing risk and uncertainty. It would be reflective, if not inclusive, of the goals and objectives. No technical details and not FMP specific, but just sort of a general articulation of the council's policy for addressing risk. Once this is drafted and approved, it can be added to the council operations handbook, similar to other policies that we have. We have an enforcement policy, a sector policy, and a habitat policy, just as an example, as examples. So we would have a risk policy that would be in the handbook, and it would include, these sort of broad statements, at which point we could then work on step two, which is how to apply that risk policy across all of our FMPs. And step two is really where you get into the details. Step two would consider individual FMP needs based on the current harvest control rules and the current ABC control rules in each of our FMPs. And this element, this strategy, would really be where more specific guidance would be provided to the SSCs for recommending ABC. And it may even include some sort of technical parameters. And an example that we discussed would be in this strategy for some stocks, there may be within this some range of a P star value, for example, that would be laid out in the strategy as some guidance to the SSC. We will be bringing forward additional details in the next report. We, the working group, are currently working on both steps one and two right now. And then step three is sort of the follow-up from step two, which is the process for addressing any individual FMP issues. So once we know what the FMP-specific needs are, this is where you think about what needs to change in the FMP in order to comport with the risk policy? Do we need an amendment to the FMP? Do we need a framework adjustment? Is the current harvest control rule in the FMP already accounting for risk in a way that's consistent with this policy? There may not be an action that would be required for every FMP. So in this step, we sort of lay out, you know, what the process is for addressing individual issues. So what we're doing right now, and this sort of relates to steps two and three, is we're putting together a matrix of baseline conditions where we sort of lay out for each FMP and each stock what is the overfishing level, what is the ABC control rule, what is the harvest control rule, where and how is risk already accounted for within that structure. So we can sort of get a baseline and figure out where we need to go for each FMP to comport with the risk policy. And again, we'll be providing more information about this in the next report. So just as a general timeline, as I mentioned, we are currently working on step one, which is the statement, the risk policy statement. We have a meeting in July 29th in Providence, so that the group can sort of finalize the draft risk policy statement. We are going to ask the SSC for input regarding the draft risk policy statement at the August 25th and 26th SSC meeting. And then we would anticipate that the council would approve the risk policy statement at the September council meeting. Once it's approved, we can add it to the operations handbook and move on to part two. Steps two and three. So there's potential that by the November council meeting we would have some more follow-up regarding steps two and three, assuming that step one is successful in September and we have some time to sort of start looking at some of the individual FMP needs. So this is the timeline that we're working under right now, and we do anticipate that the council will be approving the risk policy statement either inclusive of the goals and objectives or reflective of the goals and objectives at the September meeting, at which point we can discuss further work on steps two and three and potentially follow up again in November. That's all I have.
Thank you, Lori. And Terry.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. So I'm not sure. Would this be the committee that we would maybe address some of these little or no economic value species constraining our stock catch of high value commercial fish? Is this where we would do that, or is that a policy that the council sets? So I'm assuming it's under the risk policy group.
I think that's maybe not in the way that you would envision, Terry. There will be some discussion of economic impacts and social impacts as well, and how we might incorporate some of that into a risk policy. But the conversations on that have been pretty high level at this point, and so it's hard to like translate those discussions to your question. So I would say this probably should be of some interest to people, but that's really rather undefined at this particular point.
Other questions for Lori or Mary Beth? Terry, then Bud.
So that, Mary Beth, that kind of was a generic answer. So, I mean, I'm looking for a little more than that. And I'm wondering where a
couple hours from now, Terry, we'll be quite specific.
Well, the only thing I could do is perhaps turn to Mike Sissonwine, who's a member of the committee, and see if he could answer it in a more specific fashion, because I did the best I could with it. Or Dr. Pierce on the other side, you're surrounded.
Mike,
I had not thought about it in the context of the question you asked, but Some of what's been discussed in the committee, and I've only been to one meeting, but in the committee meeting I was at, is that risk in itself, you know, just stated as probability of overfishing, doesn't mean anything unless you consider it in the context of what the trade-offs are. What is the policy implementation that actually best achieves your goals? And so we have talked about essentially having to use management strategy evaluation or something of that nature, whether it's a full-blown, highly technical version or more a thought process, just thinking through all the implications, to look at risk and probabilities of various outcomes at all levels in the system, you know, from estimating OFL to what happens when you apply an accountability measure. I mean, that's the sort of thing that would go into a full-blown management strategy evaluation. And in that context, trade-offs between minor stocks and major stocks and the conservation issues of minor stocks versus the lost revenues from major stocks could be evaluated. But it's basically the risk per se is sort of a narrow view of the issue. It's really how you deal with uncertainty, both in terms of science, implementation, and the natural variability of ecosystems. You've got uncertainty in all three of those, and how you deal with that in order to get the best performance out of the fishery. And we tend to call that risk policy, but it's much more than that, and it should address the problem you're raising.
David?
Yeah, I suspect we can deal with your issue, especially since under risk policy, the objectives D on slide 5 of the presentation, there's some examples of how we can start simple and be adaptable, and your example fits in, I suspect, with the other examples that are provided in that part of our presentation. I'm going to address them.
Thank you. Tom?
Yes, the one thing I would caution is, I mean, from this presentation, it sounds like we're talking about articulating broad risk policies that then might be implemented through specific FMPs, or did I misread that or misinterpret that? So I'm not sure that this is the place to have those discussions. I think this is the place to articulate the broad risk policy and then to have those types of discussions, assuming the council goes this route under the individual FMPs, which may have to be broader than an individual FMP because there are some cases where the approach may overlap. Groundfish and scallops and yellowtail is one example.
Bud.
Thanks, Terry. I'm Bud Brown. I'm here just representing myself, although I guess you could say part of my interest in winter flounder and my position at ASMFC. As the state directors know, I've been worried about the uncertainty of the stock assessments for winter flounder since, what, Tom, our sidebar conversation, 3 years longer than you've been here. And I looked at this as an opportunity in the level three where you do have great uncertainty in stock assessments and we won't see something happen like what happened last fall, which really got me excited when you could catch more winter flounder because other stocks were already kind of caught up. And the situation has not changed in the 21 years that I've been beating this drum. There are still no winter flounder, so to speak, to catch in the Gulf of Maine. And so I applaud this effort, and it caught my eye. I think I will follow it. Thank you.
Anybody else from the audience? Mike?
Yeah, I was going to respond a little bit to Tom's comment about that this as being discussed by the committee right now, would involve a high-level policy and then implementation at either the individual FMP or maybe cutting across a few FMPs. And I think that's correct, but I think that was described as a three-level process, which has some strategic activity in between or strategic approaches. And I think there I had envisioned that this is the place where we really need to examine what we can do with management strategy evaluation, either a full-blown analysis of a particular fishery, if we have the resources and the fishery is important enough or big enough to merit it, or really a thinking exercise about trying to tie together all the pieces of uncertainty in terms of something that that would have logical feedbacks to get us to our desired outcomes. So that would be more than a broad level strategy, but less than a specific implementation. I could actually envision at some point a need for something that I would call a generic management strategy evaluation that would not deal with a specific stock or a specific ecosystem, but deal with some hypothetical systems that have characteristics that we know reflect a range of things we're dealing with, so we can get a feeling for what does a P star of 25% mean. I mean, right now, it means absolutely zero to me, other than that's a number people sometimes talk about.
Okay. Mary Beth?
So I would just say that I don't feel the need to add to Lori's presentation. I think it covered where we're at very well. I also would say, though, that the committee is a different committee. It's membership from scientists and social scientists and members of the council, and I'm just the chair. It's a very bright group of minds, and I'm the meeting coordinator. So I thank everybody for that, and that is the extent of my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mary Beth and Lori. We'll look forward to receiving your next update in September. We are going to turbo right into the MSA reauthorization. This was an agenda item at yesterday's executive committee meeting. We kind of hemmed and hawed as to which version to address.